Listening Library presents The Bone Spindle by Leslie Vedder. Read for you by Lindsay Dorcas. For my partner Michelle, who is everything. Prologue. In a faraway time, in a great kingdom of magic, a baby was born to the last king and queen of Andar. Their first child had been blessed with extraordinary magic, their second with great wisdom and intellect. But the third child was sickly, hovering on the edge of death. His mother named him Briar Rose, after the wildflowers that thrived in the forest hollows, which bloomed even in the darkest shadow. At this time, the royal court was guided by four women of incredible power, known as the Four Great Witches. The first was the Snake Witch, who tamed beasts and performed masterful transformations. Second, the Dream Witch, who walked effortlessly into sleeping minds. And third, the Rose Witch, a descendant of the first Witch Queen, Aurora. The fourth witch was ancient, said to be older than the kingdom itself. She carried a drop spindle of gleaming bone, through which she worked a darker magic, manipulating the flow of life with her golden threads. It was she who approached the queen in her hour of need, offering a bargain. She would save Briar Rose for a price. The secret spells hidden by the first witch queen, forbidden to all, and safeguarded by the royal line for generations. Desperate, the queen agreed. The spindle witch spun her wicked golden threads and saved the child, but the magic exacted a heavy toll, trading the queen's life for her son's. The king, heartbroken by his wife's death and furious at the spindle witch's treachery, refused to honor the bargain. Swearing she would never have what she sought, he banished her from Andar and ordered every image of her stricken from the land. The Spindle Witch vowed revenge, for she had waited lifetimes to obtain the secret spells. The magic that had saved Briar Rose now bound him to her. Before the court and the great witches, she swore that by the prince's 16th birthday, he would fall to darkness and belong to her forever. Once he was under her power, she would use him to find the forbidden spells, and to destroy the kingdom she loathed so deeply. The great witches tried any and every means to break her hold on Briar Rose, but the dark magic was too powerful. Cursed and ill-fated, the prince was locked away in the castle, until at last, on his 16th birthday, he reached for a rose in his garden, only to prick his finger on the bone spindle hidden among the thorns. Before the Spindle Witch could claim him, the Dream Witch cast him into a deathless sleep, hiding him away in a white tower wreathed in protective roses. The Spindle Witch's fury at being denied was great. Summoning all her power, she raised an army to crush the witches of Andar. An army conjured of hatred and malice, great storms of crows and fiendish creatures of malformed bone animated by her golden threads. The people of the kingdom fled as she advanced, leaving nothing but devastation in her wake. At last, only the castle remained, besieged by an impenetrable forest of thorns. The Spindle Witch was on the cusp of victory, but the great witches stood against her one last time, giving their lives with three final acts. The Snake Witch became a great ivory serpent, and wound through the forest of thorns to preserve a path to the castle. The Dream Witch spelled everyone inside to sleep, to protect them until they could be awakened alongside the prince. And the Rose Witch left behind all that she loved and fled with the broken pieces of the bone spindle, taking refuge in the neighboring kingdom of Darfel to sow the seeds for Andar's rebirth. Among the survivors, a legend was passed down, one generation to another. One day, a girl would be drawn to the spindle, a girl who could wake Briar Rose and, in doing so, set in motion the Spindle Witch's ultimate demise. A drop of blood, a drop of hope. The sleep of death, broken with a single kiss. 1. Fee. Fee pushed open the door and stepped into the dingy tavern known as the Silver Baron. The bang of the door closing behind her raised a flock of crows, pecking the dry dust outside, and the shadows of their wings against the window drew the attention of the crowded room. Suspicious faces peered at her over pewter cups of dark wine and the scraps of finished meals. Fee pulled her hat down over her eyes. She made her way through the tables and took a seat at the counter, where she could watch everyone in the room without looking like she was watching them. She had business here today, the kind that might attract unwanted attention. "Lemon tea, if you have it," she said, catching a barmaid by the elbow. The dark-haired woman sashayed away with a clipped, "M'lord." Fee was actually Lady Falor Nenroa, the title official since she'd turned 17 a few months back, but that was probably not immediately obvious between her dusty brown jacket and her low-brimmed hat. It kept the sun off her face when she was traveling, and also, apparently, was not terrible for keeping a low profile. So far, no one in Darfell had recognized Fee, but it was only a matter of time. She slid a creased map out of her pocket and onto the bar, then snatched it up again as the serving girl clanked down her cup so hard tea sloshed into the saucer. Carefully, she unfolded the map to reveal the torn scrap of parchment hidden inside, the real reason she had come to this tavern. The Silver Baron hadn't changed much in the year Fee had been gone. The patrons seemed as disreputable as ever. A hard-faced woman played chicken with a quicksilver dagger, stabbing it into the scarred tabletop between her spread fingers, and a raucous game of dice was punctuated by harsh barks of laughter and the clink of money changing hands. A sallow, balding man deep into his cups eyed her from the end of the bar. Toward the back were private enclaves, hidden behind thick, wine-red curtains, for small gatherings of nobles and those who didn't want their faces known. No one stood out, but then Fee didn't know who she was looking for. She slid the scrap of parchment into the cup of her palm, frowning at the messy scrawl. "Meet me at the Silver Baron at sundown. I have an offer you can't refuse. No signature." The note had been slipped under her door at the Iron Lantern Inn, where she'd been staying the last 2 days. Her first instinct, probably her best instinct, had been to pack up and leave town. But every time she reached for her travel bags, she found herself lifting the note instead, studying the puzzle it presented. Who knew she was back in Darfell? And what did they mean, an offer you can't refuse? Fee drummed her fingers against the counter, staring at the black fingerless glove on her left hand. The crumpled map was scratched with harsh X's, drawn in her own frustrated hand as search after search failed to turn up what she was looking for. Following a mysterious note to a place like the Silver Baron was an act of desperation. She pulled off her hat and set it on the bar. Her skin was tan, her cheeks dusted with freckles from hours in the sun. She ran her hand through her dark brown hair, which was just long enough to trap in a small ponytail at the nape of her neck. She wasn't keeping a low profile because she was a fugitive, nor was she up to anything shady enough to take place in the back rooms of the Silver Baron. She was just avoiding her ex. He had been her first horrible guess as to the author of the message, but cryptic notes weren't his style, and she'd never known him to sign off without a telltale flourish from his silver-tipped quill. That didn't leave her with a lot of suspects. Fee lifted the cup of tea, tipping it to study the yellowish liquid before taking a sip. Only years of practice at being polite kept her from spitting it out. It was supposed to be lemon tea. It tasted more like an old lemon rind steeped in a bucket of rinse water. "Master," Fee said, signaling the tall man with the neatly trimmed beard who was wiping glasses behind the bar. "This isn't tea. I think you may have poured water in a dirty cup." The man's expression said, "That's what she got for ordering tea in a place like the Silver Baron."
"I can throw it out for you, free of charge."
Fee snorted. She'd spent the last year...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?